Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is a Christian permitted to leave their Mormon spouse? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we addressed this and we discussed it, but we certainly didn't have enough time to get through this. But it is an issue that does come up where you have a Christian in a marriage relationship with a Mormon, and it's causing a lot of friction between the two beliefs. The question remains, is it okay for the Christian to leave the non-believing spouse because of that tension? Yesterday, we looked at the passage out of 1 Corinthians 7, and it certainly didn't sound like Paul was saying that that was permissible, that if, in fact, an unbelieving spouse wanted to remain with you, that you should allow that spouse to remain. Now, we didn't address things like physical abuse or anything like that. Those are whole nother issues. We're just looking at it, just the main issue of whether or not that spouse is a Christian. Is that grounds for divorce? I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where that would be okay. It may make the situation easier for you as a believer, but is that really God's will, just to make it easier for you? I mean, think about all the things that many Christians go through because of their faith in Christ. And we are told that that's something that we should not relish, but at least understand that if they persecuted our Lord and our Lord went through suffering situations, should we not also expect to go through situations like that? Now, I know in some cases the Christian brought it on themselves, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, where you have Christians who, in our opinion, defied the warnings of Scripture and went ahead and married an unbelieving spouse, whether they were LDS or who knows what. Maybe they were agnostic or atheist. I think the Scripture gives us some preventative measures there that in such situations don't do that, that we should marry people of like faith. But now you're in that situation. What do you do now? And we hear of some Christians saying, well, I'll just divorce them. Well, I don't see any option for that. I don't see that anywhere in the New Testament. I don't see it in Paul's writings either. How, Eric, can we encourage those who are in a situation like that? And obviously, it's very difficult. I read the stories, for instance, on people's Facebook pages who are now converted Christians, and they talk about and they ask prayer for situations in their personal life because of the comments that are being made from their Mormon relatives now. Because remember, they're outside of the realm. They're outside of the fold. And now they're really facing a lot of difficult times because of that. How do we encourage them?
Well, I think we need to understand in Utah, where you and I both live, not everybody who's listening to this lives in Utah, but I think every church that I've ever visited here has somebody who is a believer and their spouse is not, and possibly even a Mormon. I mean, in the rest of the world is probably just a non-Christian, and that may happen here too, but we need to, as a church, we need to come around, rally around such a person and be there for them in the little things and in the big things. Invite them into a home group, a home fellowship. I know in mine, things are said in there that nowhere else can they say these types of things, and they trust the fellow believers. Pray for me. I'm having a hard time. This is the situation. Man, I mean, that's where we need to be on our knees with them and surround them with our love. And I think if you are a Christian who's married to a Latter-day Saint, then, and if you're not involved in a church, then you need to get involved in a Bible-believing church and let the pastor know your situation so he can provide the help that I'm suggesting that the Christians ought to have. This needs to be a team effort. Christianity is not meant to play solo. If you try to do this, you're going to fall. You're going to fall flat on your face and you're going to be frustrated. So you're going to need the body. I think that's the only possibility besides the grace of Jesus Christ. And that comes to us every day, the grace and mercy that's provided us. But we need to be involved in other people's lives.
And I think when we're involved in other people's lives, we have a huge responsibility. Why do you think we have witnesses at a wedding? It's not so we can all share in the food afterwards. It's because we are witnesses there to make sure that this couple handles themselves in a biblical manner, and we are there to correct, instruct, admonish, and exhort if either one of them gets out of line. We need, in other words, to counsel biblically. And it's frustrating, Eric. I'll tell you, it's really frustrating when I hear Christians give advice that has no biblical basis whatsoever. It's the world's counsel. It's not biblical counsel. Think about it, folks. What better counsel would there be for any given situation than the counsel that we find in the New Testament? I would think that that would be the number one source that we would go to, and I would shun any advice from someone who wants to tell me to do something that's contrary to what the Bible has to say. How is that going to be Christ-honoring? How is that in the long run going to actually help my situation? And unfortunately, there's not a lot of good counsel on this, but I think Paul is giving some of the best advice, and I know that's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Of course it isn't going to be easy, but it's going to be Christ-honoring, and what is in your heart to do more? To be Christ-honoring or take the easy route?
We became Christians so that we could have a nice and easy life. Isn't that the purpose of becoming a Christian? Well, if you go to some churches, maybe that's the idea, but that's not what Jesus was talking about. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 15, starting at verse 18. He says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." I think when we hear what Jesus has to say, we understand that it's not going to be easy and there will be suffering. I'm sorry if you became a Christian thinking it was going to solve all your problems. Sometimes, especially in the Utah culture, it creates more problems because you could have stayed LDS and you could have remained in your happy little world. And there are people who have done that knowing Mormonism is not true, knowing that it was going to cost too much. But if you're a person who left the Mormon church and became a Christian, you needed to have counted the cost because it's going to cost on this life, not in the next one, but there will be certain things and you're going to be hated possibly, and this is the hard part, by your own kin. And that hurts.
Oh, that hurts immensely. And this is what really is so heartbreaking is when I do read some of the stories, whether it's on someone's Facebook page or whatever, you can feel the pain that they are going through because their family members, the ones who should be loving them the most, are the ones who seem to love them the least. And I tell you, I still don't understand it. If Mormonism really teaches that true salvation is to be one as a family unit, and this person decides to make a decision that will break up that family unit, you would think that the reaction should be grief for that individual who they, the Mormon, thinks is making a bad decision. But it doesn't usually work that way. Why doesn't it work that way? Well, folks, because they're unregenerated. Yep. That's why. And so how do they react? Not always with the love and compassion that you would expect a Christian to react with. They react with the animosity and the name calling and what we would call persecution. That's what you would expect. Now, let me read to you from 1 Peter 4, because a lot of people in this situation, finding their Mormon relatives giving them a hard time, sometimes they act, and sometimes when they write me, it sounds as if they're completely unaware that a lot of people are going through the very same situation that they are going through, that this is not unique. And I don't know how many times I've responded to people who write to me with these kind of situations in their lives. And I'll start off by saying, I wish I could say that your case is abnormal, but unfortunately, it's not. It's very normal. What does Peter say? Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, and when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Now, that's comforting, but at the same time, that's harsh sometimes, because it is a difficult situation to be in, and I don't think even Peter's trying to treat it lightly. He's just putting it in perspective.
And notice what that verse 12 says. It says, do not be surprised. And I think sometimes, again, the idea is that we're going to have a happy-go-lucky life the rest of our lives, and suffering will happen. And James says, in a verse that in context is talking about trials and temptations, it says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials of many kinds. This is what's going to take place, and even though that's not natural, the Christian is told to consider it to be a positive, because the goal is to bring glory back to God. And it says in verse 16 of the 1 Peter 4 passage, the praise of God that you bear that name. So when we are bearing the suffering, in essence, we can glorify God even through those hard times.
Many times I can sense the frustration and impatience when the Christian writes me to tell me about their situation and asking what to do. And one of the best pieces of advice I could probably give them is, you need to be patient with them, because think about how long it took you to get to the point where you are. Just because you've arrived to the point where you are right now, that probably took you many years to finally get there. We need to be patient with our Mormon loved ones, hoping that they will someday get to the point where we are. But until they do, we need to be patient with them as well. And I know it's difficult. I'm not trying to treat this subject lightly, but certainly we need to be understanding and knowing that your loved ones have not considered what you have considered to this point. Just be patient that someday they will.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. We at Mormonism Research Ministry hope you will likewise pray for us that the word will go forth and be glorified. Pray for direction as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance as to where God wants us to focus our attention. Pray for wisdom that we might have the right words to speak to Latter-day Saints who are struggling with their faith. Pray for the physical and spiritual health of our staff and families. Pray that, as a ministry, we are able to meet the financial obligations that naturally accompanies effective ministries. Pray for opportunities to educate fellow Christians who may not feel confident when sharing their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. We hope that you will also pray for the entire body of Christ, that all of us will have a greater love for those who are lost, and that this love will give us a sense of urgency to share the message of grace that sets the captive free.